This book is all about how to help recover piety in the house.
Pastor Will Wheaton, talking about his new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety.
What do you do when people have confused a legalistic pietism for any form of Christian piety? And by piety, I just mean godly habits.
Learn more about Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey at issuesetc.org.
Precisely because things have gotten so hostile out there, there is a new understanding and a new kind of backbone growing into traditional Christianity, and I think that's a very good sign.
How do we teach the child to love the law without teaching the child they have to keep the law in order to be loved?
The Bible comes to us not first as a theology book, but as a history book. The Bible comes to us saying, these are things that happened.
Freedom in the Bible is not, I can do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. That's not freedom, that's only slavery. Freedom in the Bible is, I have a father who loves me, has given his son to die for me.
Wisconsin snowplow drivers love issues, etc.
She's had a long and storied career. She is, in every sense of the word, a self-made woman. She is revered by, well, almost everybody. She crosses lines. She can go to the White House. She can visit with any celebrity she wants to. She can hobnob with the best of Hollywood. She's been in their movies. She has had for a while her own television network and certainly her own daytime talk show. Her name is a household name in every sense, Oprah Winfrey. Is she also the default leader of the religiously unaffiliated and the religious left? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, January the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be answering that question with Terry Mattingly of the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate here in the first half hour of the program. Marcia Montenegro will join us after that. She spent 8 years as a professional astrologer. We'll talk with her about a recent story in The Atlantic titled A New Age of Astrology. Then in hour two of Issues Etc., we continue our series on the Lutheran Confessions. We are in the Apology of the Augsburg Confession. We'll be talking about the personal work of Christ and then the doctrine of justification. Joining us to talk about Oprah Winfrey and the religiously unaffiliated, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and of the book Pop Goes Religion. He is founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
You have said many times on this program that Oprah Winfrey is the default leader of the religious left. What did you see there that caused you to come to that conclusion?
Well, part of it is that they're trying to replace Barack Obama. I mean, and if you look at who Obama appealed to and what made the Barack Obama era possible was, of course, his complete dominance, you know, in the field of the votes of African Americans and people of color. So you have an overlap in much of Oprah's appeal there. At the same time, whether people completely bought into this or not, Obama offered a very real sense of hope that on racial issues and economic issues, that things could get better. You know, yes, we can. We can do this. Oprah has been about recognition of sorrow, pain, and suffering, but there's still hope. I mean, that's been the essence of her message ever since she emerged out of the world of journalism, you know, and into the world of kind of self-improvement talk TV. So there's some overlap there. But I think the main thing that people have to understand about Oprah is that Oprah, whatever you think of her beliefs on individual issues, either political or social or economic or whatever, Oprah talks about religion the way most Americans or a large minority of Americans talk about religion. She is a person kind of the cultural left, of that world, when push comes to shove and you try to figure out what she believes. But quite frankly, she talks like someone who grew up in the heart of the Black church and that unique brand of kind of Pentecostal evangelical life. She has mastered the appearance of that kind of religion, and she has mastered the style of that kind of religion. And quite frankly, she addresses a lot of the concerns of that kind of religion. And as such, that just makes her a singular and very unique communicator in American life.
Does it help or hinder her in that kind of de facto role as leader of the religious left that she is a self-made billionaire?
Well, it sure didn't hurt her these days. And because if you look at what's happened in America in the world of business and big money in the last 20 to 25 years, the world of the digital rich, the new entertainers, the new communicators, the online mavens, you know, and entrepreneurs, she fits in with that just perfect. And that world, the world of Facebook and Apple and Google, that world is hard left. Maybe not completely hard left on economics. They may kind of have a libertarian economic streak, but when it comes to moral and social issues, it's very hard to get to the left of, say, Google or Facebook or Apple, you know, for that matter. So, you know, she fits into that world of the rich, not so much the old guard Republican suburban Cadillac rich. No, she would be a perfect person to sit down at an all-day meeting between techno leaders and people doing street ministry, you know, in major urban areas or something. You know, Oprah would just swing right back and forth between those two groups with no problem at all.
I wanted to explore that a little bit, because one of the things that has always fascinated me with her as a public figure is that ubiquity and the ease with which she goes from one circle to another. She's welcomed virtually everywhere. I can even imagine at some point she would be asked to speak at the Southern Baptist Convention, their annual convention, in some capacity, make a lot of people mad, but she moves in and out of just about every circle you can imagine.
Now, the Southern Baptist would know enough about her, but I could see her ending up at some sort of non-denominational big meeting for evangelical and Pentecostal women. Maybe some organization that is not as specific about doctrine as the Southern Baptist. I could see Oprah, you know, ending up at some sort of, she is kind of her own non-denomination, her own parachurch, isn't she? She has her own style. She has her own doctrine. You can't stress too much that many of her most crucial abilities are rooted in her experience in church and in the Black church. Oprah knows how to stand up and make something preach. She knows how to tell you stories that win you over, even if then you stop and think about it and say, wait a minute, I'm not sure I exactly agree with that. Oprah knows how to put her hands in the air and shout out, like, preach it, amen. Or someone who wrote a book on this said one of her favorite things is something like, sister, I understand that whole God connection you've got going on there. Now, later you have to go back and define God, but in American shopping malls, on the religious bookshelves and the self-help bookshelves, who's actually defining God these days, right? Isn't God kind of whatever you make of it? And that's Oprah. She perfectly fits that kind of spiritual but not religious emotion over doctrine, story over catechism. She perfectly fits that mood. And as such, I think you were right to suggest that she might be able to talk to the Southern Baptist Convention. I think it would be more proper to say that the leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention would be able to say, no, 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 I don't think we want Oprah. But what percentage of people in the Southern Baptist Convention, especially women, say between the ages of 30 and 60, what percentage of them have Oprah on when she's back into media? During the 25 years of her TV show, how many ordinary Americans were Oprah people? And now, back to your original question about uniting the religious left, if the religious left already has the religiously unaffiliated, the nuns, the openly religiously liberal, the world of kind of new age religion, who do you know that can speak to all of those people yet has massive credibility in ordinary suburban American homes and small town and middle American homes? Name me somebody who can hit from both sides of that plate.
Let's talk about her speech at the Golden Globes, which, when you were describing her ability to preach, in essence,
yeah,
she turned it on up to 11, as they say, and really energized people in the course of about, I would say, seconds. She had people on her feet. Talk about that phenomenon.
Well, that's two things. Number one, right now, anybody who isn't Donald Trump is a potential hero. If they have to run George Clooney and Tom Hanks for president, that will work just fine. I mean, they're wide open on the possibilities here. And Oprah, once again, black, female, communicator, can in large part fund her own campaign, has media skills that would make Ronald Reagan look like an amateur. How can you not dream that Oprah either doesn't run or doesn't agree to stand at the side of whatever woman ends up running, if you get my point? Obviously, Oprah can help you bring in the new eschaton, you know, in terms of the Democratic Party. Who could be better? Now, she brings with her a lot of controversial things from a lot of her kind of medical quackery at different times of her life, doubts about people getting inoculated from certain diseases. She's had some wild people on her show, and it would be easy to find footage of her cozying up to them. But Oprah is so articulate. If you don't think that Oprah couldn't stand up and turn those issues around on the head of a pin, then you don't know this woman's skills. So I keep coming back. This woman can testify, to put it in Southern religious terms. She has the ability. You're not going to out-talk Oprah if the goal is to talk to ordinary Americans. I mean, to some degree, everybody praises Donald Trump for his ability to communicate, you know, because of his talk show and TV star time. I mean, what kind of success did Donald Trump have on TV compared to Oprah? That isn't a fair fight, is it?
We're talking about Oprah Winfrey and the religiously unaffiliated with Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. When we come back, to be the leader of the religiously unaffiliated, she would have to be unaffiliated herself. And is she? Does she still identify as a Christian? We'll be right back.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Each month, the Lutheran Witness magazine brings together leading thinkers and writers to cover a range of vital topics relating to Christian life and faith, culture and theology. So whether your 2018 New Year's resolution is to read more widely, think more broadly, or grow more deeply in your faith, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine can help. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and founder and editor of Get Religion, about Oprah Winfrey and the religiously unaffiliated. Here's the question I've got. Her connection not just to the religious left, but to the nuns, to the unaffiliated, spiritual but not religious. I look at her and I say, she certainly is a nun. She is spiritual but not religion. But technically, does she still identify with the religion of her upbringing, with traditional kind of Southern Christianity?
Oprah can identify with anything if you let her define the terms. I think that's the key. And Oprah also understands that we live, like I said, in a visual and emotional age, and that she can project the emotions of Pentecostalism, of Black Pentecostalism, even if she doesn't believe any of the doctrines, except that she believes in the miraculous. She believes that some sort of God is listening and cares about you, and she can project that miracles can happen in your life, and she means it, but then you have to define, well, what's a miracle? Oprah can make anything work if you let her define the terms. I've talked to people that have been on her show, and you just can't beat Oprah with these pesky little things called facts. Facts don't work for the Oprah audience. Story works. Experience works. Emotion works. And in that sense, Todd, I think what part of the things we're working our way around is that Oprah's style is extremely similar to the kind of revivalistic, emotional, doctrine-free, Christ follower, not doctrinal, let's just be the church. All of those emotions that have been so popular in American Protestantism, Oprah can pull all of that off. You don't have any problems until you start trying to talk about specifics. And she's really good at not talking about specifics.
Is this why, when it comes to having religious people on, I think about Joel Osteen, who had appeared on her program, already a superstar in Christian circles, and just the seamless conversation these two can have to the delight of that largely female audience?
Well, she brought him on, I'm assured, because that expands her audience in that direction even more. And the fact that he has a kind of a health and wealth practicality side of his work, or that dominates his work, that's similar to hers. And as long as they don't get into a Trinitarian discussion of who or what God is or isn't, she's fine talking to Joel Osteen. And she's willing to do it because he helps her. Now, does she help him with his people? That's the scary thing to think about. Does Oprah help Joel Osteen just as much as he helps her? You know, there are people who honestly believe that George W. Bush won the presidency in that really close race against Al Gore, that just as much, anything else he did politically, just as much as, you know, the debates with Al Gore or whatever, some people think that the key to him becoming president of the United States was that he went on Oprah and was able to just be personable with her, kiss her on the cheek and hug her when you walked in, and she didn't let Oprah push him off point. There's some people that think that literally was part of what got him elected, or a key moment in his election.
So in a technical sense, again, we talked about whether or not she's Christian. Your answer intrigued me there, too. Mm-hmm. So if she is the de facto leader of the religious left, and then especially of the nuns, nuns are none of the above, but it sounds like you're saying that Oprah really is all of the above.
Yeah, she blurs all the lines between everything, which when you push her and you look at some of the folks she has brought into public life, during that era when she was, I mean, people forget that in the 90s, she had a whole thing going on her show. I'm trying to remember, what was the name of that era? Remember Your Spirit? Yes, Remember Your Spirit. She used to have days where she would light all the candles up, and she and the studio audience would pray and testify and share their concerns. And you would have thought you were in small group meeting for, you know, a super mega church. But once again, what do the words mean? What do the terms mean? To whom are you praying? This all of the above instead of none of the above. She's not affiliated to any particular flock. She's emotionally able to blur all of them. That's the kind of haunting quote in my column this week. I've written about Oprah a number of times, but the woman who wrote the book on the gospel according to Oprah, she had this one really kind of complex quote, and let me read it. I had to take an ellipsis out of one part of it just because it got a little bit too hard to understand. But here's what this woman who has written about Oprah said. She talks about God, but for Oprah, that can almost be the God of the week, the spiritual flavor of the week. How she talks about spirituality and about truth is constantly changing. That's her gift. That's who she is. For her, that stuff will preach. So it's the vagueness and the lack of specifics that in many ways is what makes her a perfect example of American religion. American religion in the middle. And since the late 80s and early 90s, I've been referring to the middle of the American religious spectrum. If you have the traditional religious believers on one side, and on the other side you have the atheists, the agnostic, the hardcore religious left, I've been calling that group of Americans in the middle who kind of change, they seem conservative sometimes, they seem liberal other times. It all depends on how you word the questions or state the story. Since the late 80s, I've been calling that part of America, I've been calling it Oprah America, because that's the part of America she speaks to, the big, emotional, mushy middle of the religious spectrum, the people who believe almost everything and believe it primarily in an emotional and experiential manner. She's got their number. She knows how to talk to them.
Does this mean that we should, some enterprising pollster or journalist, should dig a little deeper on the nuns and see whether or not, like perhaps their default leader, they really are not so much none of the above but all of the above?
Well, first of all, the nuns include people who still pray every day. The key is that they don't affirm a specific religious tradition or set of doctrines. So I think what you could call them non-doctrinal believers. And the main thing is they don't want to have any beliefs that limit their own personal freedom. They're moral libertarians more than anything else. You know, you've heard the statement that a lot of Americans oppose abortion in every case except the one they're facing. That's kind of the world we're talking about. I believe all kinds of things, sort of, but when push comes to shove, it better work for me. The purpose of religion is, my religion changes all the time because I don't want a religion that demands that I change. And you said earlier, is Oprah still a Christian? I think Oprah, of course, would say that she is. It's kind of dangerous to say it, but Oprah is a very, very free church Protestant in the sense that she is going to make the call on what she believes. Oh, boy, the priesthood of the believer, Oprah's got it. Oprah is her own priest. She is her own catechism. And she's delivering that product to millions and millions of people. I don't know what that means politically. I don't know how she moves from that religious role and swings over to political leadership. But then again, 5 years ago, if someone told you Donald Trump was going to be elected president, would you have bought it?
I would have laughed and laughed.
Yeah. So at this point, I don't think we're laughing, are we? About much of anything at this point. Pretty much all bets are off. And I don't know if that means that Oprah gets elected president. But I sure as heck fire thinks it means that Oprah could help determine who gets elected president. And if the Democratic Party needed someone to travel through female, hurting, and African-American America at the side of a candidate, wouldn't you want that to be Oprah?
Two quick final questions. Everyone has noted the rise of the nuns, fastest growing religious group in the United States, although still a small, relatively small group. Is Oprah Winfrey the cause of that in some sense, or has she very deftly read the currents and ridden the wave that this represents?
I don't know if she specifically causes it. I would say that America's obsession with entertainment and mass media and story and image over doctrine and substance and whatever. So I would say that she, if she's more than a symptom of it, but she is perhaps one of the ultimate examples of how important mass media and entertainment is to how Americans think and make decisions. Back when I was teaching at Denver Theological Seminary, the first place that I ever brought Oprah into a classroom and tried to get future pastors to look at Oprah and examine the books she was recommending and listen carefully to what she was saying. I had an experience in that classroom where someone was, a Baptist, was challenged, why are we studying this in seminary? I came here to learn to be a pastor. And I said to this guy, stop and think about it for a second. Let's try to redefine the word discipleship. And I defined, kind of in mass media terms, I defined discipleship as how do you spend your time, how do you spend your money, and how do you make your decisions? Now, when you look at how Americans spend their time, how Americans spend their money, and how Americans make their decision, isn't Oprah a huge player in all of that? Whether it's commercialization of things, of books, of products, of diet products, Oprah is one of the ultimate figures in American life who can look straight in the camera, right into the eyes of the person on the other side of that tube and say, trust me, this will work.
With that said, in only about 30 seconds, Terry, what would a Trump v. Oprah presidential race in 2020 look like from your perspective?
Well, first of all, they used to be great buddies. You know, at one point in time, they were great buds. Man, I can't even contemplate that. I don't see her running for president. I see her being one of the three or four people who most determine which woman is on the ticket, either at the top of the ticket or next. And I picture her being a huge player in the formation of the liberal attempt to regain middle America and regain herding America. Okay, I'll put it one more bite for you. Who do you think more women in America would feel sympathetic about, Hillary Clinton or Oprah?
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, and he's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Marcia Montenegro. She spent 8 years as a professional astrologer. There's a story in The Atlantic titled A New Age of Astrology. We'll see what she has to say about it. And then we'll be talking with Pastor Paul McCain in our series on the Lutheran Confessions about the work of Christ and justification in the Apology of the Augsburg Confession.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Greetings to you from the heart of Texas. I am Pastor Mark Knuckles, the senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School. We are the LCMS Mother Church of Austin and are situated just blocks from the University of Texas. Liturgical in worship and confessional in teaching, we are a dual parish with the only Lutheran deaf congregation in the Austin area, Jesus Lutheran Church of the Deaf. Come see what God is doing among us through His Word and His sacraments.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Answering objections defending the faith, evolution or creation, transgenderism and homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Learn more at worldviewsa.org. This conference features Issues Etc. guests Dr. Jan Lohmeyer and Pastor David J. Weber. The San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd, worldviewsa.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.